I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the Billboard Chart Beat Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, my name is Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
New year, and we're back.
It's been a few weeks. Hopefully people had a nice, relaxing holiday season, and happy new year to everybody listening out there, because this will be the first edition of the 2018 season. Pretty eventful time on the charts. I know last time we talked about Mariah Carey hitting the top 10 for the first time with her Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Luckily, in the past couple of weeks, I guess I was all kind of nervous that something major in chart world is going to drop. We had a pretty quiet ride. Ed Sheeran took us through the holidays. A lot of action coming at you at the top of the year. Just kind of like we had Ed Sheeran last year, start off with a bang and end all the way at number one. Seems like he's maybe inspired some other big superstars to get a head start on the year.
All right, we'll get into a couple different things here on the podcast. We'll look at the showdown that actually could be looming on next week's Billboard Hot 100. A couple new songs that are out. Justin Timberlake's new single, Filthy. And Bruno Mars and Cardi B's new remix version of his song originally, Finesse, both could make big splashes next week on the Hot 100. So we'll talk about that. We'll give our thoughts. And we're going to go to Houston, your hometown, Trevor, going back to Terry Thomas and DJ Riddler from KROI Houston. They're playing both songs. I'm going to get their reaction on what they think, what listeners think so far of what could be two of the biggest new hits of 2018. And because it's 2018, a special flashback after that, number 18 peaking Hot 100 hits for 2018.
It's a lot of 18s coming at you. But before we get into all of that coming up, we'll start things off as we usually do. Give people a little nice reminder, settle in, focusing on the top 10 this week. And here is the Billboard Hot 100 from 10 to 1 coming at you right now.
10, 9, 8, 7. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10.
If you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't want to choose, and I'm quick. Cut a nigga off.
Number 9.
Gucci gang, 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 Gucci gang. Spent the race on new chain. My bitch love do cocaine. Ooh, I fuck a bitch, I forgot her name. Yeah, I can't buy no bin a wet rain.
Number 8.
Put that thing in sports. Shout it bad. Pop a like a court. Pop it. You a dork. Never been a sport. Pull up. Jumping out the court.
Number 7. Number 6.
Got a girl with California eyes, and I thought that she could really be the one this time, but I never got the chance to make her mind, because she fell in love with little thin white lines. London girl with her attitude, but never
then I get some Number money. 5.
Yeah. Fucking then I get some money. Hey. Fucking then I get some money. Yeah. Fucking then I get some money.
I need tongue, I need face, I need brain, concentrate, yeah. Apple phone, product case.
Number 4.
Thunder. Feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder, thunder, thunder. Thunder. Thunder.
Number three.
I'm in Pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up on the...
Number two. And number one.
With you between my arms, barefoot on the grass, while listening to our favorite song, when I saw you in that dress.
And a familiar tune to bring us out of the countdown, Ed Sheeran and Beyonce's Perfect, number one for what is now 5 weeks in a row. So holding strong this week, continues its momentum by moving up to number one on the radio songs chart. So, but you know, there's still some growth, some room to grow for Perfect. It seems like, you know, pretty great radio ballad for this time of year. While it's, you know, things are a little calmer, a little sleepier, ballads pretty much tend to do really well in the winter months as things get a little low key. So Perfect definitely riding that momentum. But as you mentioned, there's a lot, you know, bubbling up on the surface. I guess we can start right really with number two, which I think people will be a little surprised to hear.
Right.
Right there at number two. Behind it, you heard it's Havana, Camila Cabello featuring Young Thug. The song had been number two for 5 weeks. A couple months ago at this point, when Post Malone's Rockstar was number one, and when it didn't get to number one and had been number two for those 5 weeks and started to settle back, I think people thought, you know, that's going to be the end of that. But it seems like 2018 put a little sprig into the song.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice bit of intrigue as we start the new year. So to kind of look at it a different way, Perfect is down 12% in Hot 100 points this week. Havana's down only 2%. So actually, the gap isn't incredibly far between the two songs. If they were to make those same kind of moves next week, Havana could challenge for number one. So kind of surprising after all this time that it still actually could wind up being a number one hit. We actually saw that last year. Starboy got to number one after it looked like maybe it wasn't going to get there. By the weekend, it had peaked at radio, but it just hung on long enough. Other things moved around it, and it was able to sneak in for a week at number one. And the album is coming out tomorrow, Friday, as we're taping this on Tuesday, but it's posting on Thursday. So tomorrow, the 12th, the album, Camila, comes out. Maybe, if not next week on the Hot 100, the week after, the full week of tracking for the album and its songs, maybe that gives it a buzz. If Perfect keeps coming down and nothing else moves up, it's within the realm of possibility. Camila Havana could still be a number one hit.
And I know the Camilizers are going to be really excited for that. But of course, I mean, if Havana theoretically turns over its shoulder, it's going to see two songs. All right, first, let's talk about the first song of the two that came out, Bruno Mars and Cardi B on a remix of his song Finesse from the 24 Karat Magic album that came out last Thursday, so a week ago today, on the 4th. That said, the song had 1 day of sales and streams for the week, which actually threw it on the Hot 100 this week, debuting at number 35, the highest debut of the week. Next week, when it has its full 7 days to grow, definitely looks like it's going to make a huge jump up the Hot 100. Could it be enough to be number one? We're not quite sure yet. Been selling really well. Been number one on iTunes since it came out. So definitely the sales will be a huge help there. How's the radio looking on that song?
Yeah, radio's good. It debuted on the pop songs chart this week. It debuted just from its first few days of airplay on the radio songs chart. So, you know, it's the song's been out. It's been on the album 24 Karat Magic for more than a year. But it you know, it's basically a brand new song now.
I think also another reason, kind of in that same vein, why Finesse has been such a hot hit is people love the video.
Right.
The video is, I mean, it's, you know, pays homage to a lot of those early 90s kind of shows in living color. A lot of those kind of sitcoms. I mean, a little bit of TLC, Ain't Too Proud to Beg vibe from Cardi B.
Yeah, the way she looks, she totally looks like she's out of one of those TLC videos.
Yeah, so I think people, you know, they've gotten down with that. I mean, and I know it's kind of interesting that both the video and the song, I mean, I saw my Twitter timeline that night, like, I saw so much hype and so many positive takes from everybody about it that I was really excited for. And I'm really excited to see, you know, going forward where this is.
And just business-wise, label-wise, this is how you can keep a song that's more than a year old fresh at this point. Everyone who knew it from the album for a year, it's basically a brand new song now. So you get someone like Cardi B on there, makes it a totally new song. And I think it's kind of interesting, too, because when the album came out, we were talking about a year ago, people really didn't know who Cardi B was at the time. And now, by the time Bruno was four singles deep into this album, in some ways, is she a hotter star at the moment than he is? Is it that she's getting help by being on a Bruno song, or is he really benefiting because of her buzz at the moment? Maybe a little bit of both. They're obviously both huge stars.
Well, I think, I mean, for Bruno also, one other kind of business concern, I think, is as they keep their eye on the prize, that Grammy Awards are coming up at the end of the month. Bruno's up for some of the big prizes, including Album of the Year. So maybe, you know, the timing helps definitely get him back in voters' minds as they kind of cast the final ballots. But to the point about Cardi B, you're right. I mean, certainly if you knew Cardi B, you didn't really know her as a music star the way she is now. But when you look, I mean, even just in the past, you know, 6 months since Cardi B came out, we had Bodak Yellow for a while. That was kind of the only song we knew from Cardi B. And you look in the past month and everything, you know, I mean, Motorsport has been a huge hit, top 10 on the Hot 100. We see her on G-Eazy's No Limit. We see her doing the song with Ozuna. We see her with her own new single, Bartier Cardi. We see her now on this Bruno Mars remix. I mean, there is a lot of Cardi B out there. If you're a Cardi B fan, this is the moment for you.
Yeah, I don't want the hooligans to come after me. I'm not saying one's bigger than the other. I just mean that at the moment, there's just so much Cardi B that it's sort of, that he can sort of jump on all the buzz that she's getting at the moment. We just heard she has three songs in the top 10 again this week. Those are her first three Hot 100 hits in the top 10 all at once. And as we reported last week, only the Beatles and Ashanti had ever done that before Cardi B, first three Hot 100 hits in the top 10 together. So she's really having a historic run at the moment. It's kind of perfect timing for both her and Bruno, and they're both on Atlantic Records. So total win-win for everybody.
And most importantly, I mean, as you know, much as fun as it is to kind of dive through everything and wonder why this is working, why that's working, I mean, at its core, it's a good song.
Right.
I mean, it's just a really good song, and it's just good to see good songs doing good things. So while Bruno is remixing an album from a year ago, making that fresh once again, we've also got a fresh start, it feels like, from another huge megastar. Justin Timberlake is back. The Man of the Woods album coming out in February. We heard the lead single, Filthy, which came out one day after Finesse. Filthy, by virtue of coming out on Friday, will have its first 7 days of sales and streams all together for one tracking week. Looks like it's on track for a strong debut as well. He actually debuted at number one the last time he came out with a single, Can't Stop the Feeling,
right,
back in May 2016. So Justin knows what it's like to come in at the top, and we'll see if Filthy can keep up that streak.
So I think what's interesting about Justin Timberlake coming back is, in some ways, I think pop radio, maybe pure pop fans, got a little spoiled with Can't Stop the Feeling. It's maybe his most obvious pop hit ever. Just total, it's a hook fest. First episode back, I'm going to use the word hook fest. Total easy number one, just perfect for pop, AC radio, so catchy. This song is not a one-listen record. This takes some more listens to really figure out what's going on sonically. Some radio programmers we've already talked to said, you know, we kind of had the same reaction when Sexy Back came out in 2006. And I remember, same thing, thinking, what is this? I've never heard anything that sounds like this. I kind of have the same reaction to Filthy so far, and I haven't heard it enough to fully get whether it could make that kind of impact like Sexy Back could. This is kind of challenging listen at first.
Yeah, it's definitely not quite the obvious on its face pop hit that the soundtrack was. And I think obviously leaning towards the album coming out in a month at the Super Bowl performance. You know, where is Justin Timberlake going? He had shown pictures on Instagram that he was riding with Little Big Town. So some people are thinking it's supposed to be more Tennessee influenced. Right. I mean, the album cover is kind of split. So right. You wonder if it's kind of pop Justin meets, you know, soul.
It's got the word, Woods.
Yeah, Woods. Yeah. There's probably a duet with Chris Stapleton on there. There's we know on the track list that one song features CS as the initials. We saw him and Chris Stapleton perform, of course, back at the CMAs a couple of years ago to a huge reception. So that, you know, could be influencing as well. But one point about Justin Timberlake that I'm interested to see is I think he'll also be a big bellwether in this question that we've had a lot, especially in 2017, about what is the state of pop and are pop stars really the top of the heap like they used to be. We saw a lot of people in late 2016, 2017, kind of stumble, not quite have the same ground that they did for their past projects, maybe in 2012, 13, 14. I mean, even in a sense, you know, the biggest one yet, Taylor Swift, her album debuted at number one, sold, you know, did well over 1 million copies. But it seems like some of the hype, momentum around some of those later singles it's settled down a little bit. I know people were excited about Endgame. And some of those, and you know, Ready For It, not quite up to the standards that we saw in 1989 and even some of the singles from Red. So I wonder, you know, I mean, I think Timberlake will be a big test for that.
Yeah, I think last year we kind of said it was a year of the unexpected hit. It wasn't, we didn't get a whole bunch of Katy Perry big hits like we might have expected a few years earlier. We got stuff like Despacito and things that were just totally out of left field. So this, yeah, absolutely could be a test of whether is this going to be the big name who we'd expect to have a big hit come back, or is it just going to be too weird for some fans and maybe something, even like the Ozuna Cardi B song that you might not have expected, but that's got a really catchy hook if you haven't heard it.
And Cardi's singing, not right? Even really rapping.
Yeah. Actually, here's a little hook of it.
La Modelo,
right?
By Cardi B.
After Despacito, maybe that becomes a hit. It's kind of hard to tell. Even Havana at first might have sounded like that's not mainstream enough. And that's, as we said, number two, maybe on its way to number one. We'll find out.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess not to put too much weight into this. We'll see where it shakes out at the end of the week. But a little bit of an omen. Filthy, been blocked at number one on iTunes since it came out. By Finesse, so it has not hit the number one spot on iTunes.
Right.
Also on Spotify, you know, Finesse up there in the top two with Rockstar by Post Malone. Filthy has not even hit the top five. So, I mean, a little bit of an omen there that maybe it won't be, you know, the splash number one debut. Super Bowl performance, of course, could revive a lot of things. But it seems like in the moment, definitely the Cardi B, Bruno.
We'll ask our guests what they think long term, which song could be a bigger between the two. I'm ready to make my pick. I'm going to absolutely call it 100% which one's going to be a bigger hit.
Okay, bigger hit. So a bigger chart hit. Not taking away the cultural, taking away
everything.
The critical.
Everything.
Oh, okay.
Ready? It's really easy.
Well, okay, we'll say it on three. One, two, three. Finesse.
I was going to say the one that starts with F-I.
Oh. It's
a pity laugh from
my
Deirdre,
God.
Producing
I
over there.
Hate Gary Finesse, so
huh?
Much.
Seriously, I would have said, I think Finesse long term probably is the one that feels like it's more fitting for radio and might just be easier for pop audiences. Or maybe it is a sexy back type thing. And the more we hear it, the more it does totally change what we thought of as pop music and really break some new ground.
So what we're going to do, we're going to realize at this point that Gary called not calling it.
All right, I'm going to go with Finesse if I have to.
All right, tune in next week and we'll see where the game begins. The first week out, who is going to score higher first?
All right, let's find out from people who probably know what they're talking about more than we do. People who are on the front line with what listeners are requesting and truly are saying what they like. Going to Houston, your hometown, Trevor, KROI, Top 40 station. Terry Thomas, Operations Manager, Program Director, and DJ Riddler, Music Director, back on the podcast. Thanks for coming back on, guys.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. great to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we actually had you on last year as the recovery was going on from the devastating hurricane in Houston. And Trevor, I know you were back in Houston over the holidays. Let me ask all you guys, everything, is there some kind of a normal going on in Houston? Are things back to, not back to normal, but in a better place than they were? Are things moving forward?
Well, I think there's always forward movement, but, you know, there was a lot of devastation here. So it's really going to take some time for things to get back to 100%. But I believe the Houstonians have a can-do mindset and move-it-forward attitude. So, you know, with the areas that were hard hit, it's, you know, it's going to be a process. For example, our slogan here at our stations in Houston is Rebuild Houston One Family at a Time. That's our mantra for 2018. And that's really a year-long campaign to stay in the community and to help people, you know, get back on their feet. I think when you have devastation on the level that we had it here in the city, you know, it tends to overtax all the resources. So, you know, that's what takes, it takes a longer time for people, you know, to be able to get back on their feet. And in a lot of cases, people lost everything. So you're having to start back from zero. And so, you know, we're committed to staying out there with boots on the ground and helping, you know, put helping hands out there and resources to, you know, help areas and make sure that there's no one or no particular area that gets overlooked.
All right, now let's talk about music, stuff that doesn't matter. But we wanted to ask you about these two new songs that have come out beginning of the year. It's always kind of exciting to have new music. People come back from the holidays. And KROI, you guys added both of these songs, a pretty good rotation. Filthy at 40 plays in the week ending January 7th, Finesse at 36. So they're both off to pretty prominent starts. Let's sort of keep pitting them against each other. What do you guys think of both so far? And what are listeners saying about both so far?
Well, you know, with Justin Timberlake, it's an event when he comes out with new music. Yeah, and historically, that's what he's done. And I know a lot of people, it's been polarizing on social media, but I, you know, you could see from the reaction, at least from first week Shazam. I mean, it's out Shazamming even Bruno Mars Finesse right now. So it's definitely getting a lot of attention in Houston.
And I think, you know, regarding, you know, Bruno and Cardi B, you know, I love Bruno, huge fan. One of the best concerts I saw all of last year was Bruno's tour. But with that being said, Cardi B is hot. She is smoking hot right now. She is. She has the Midas touch. So it was a smart combination. The remix, the beat, the vibe of the song, smart, because that, you know, that's a huge album. You know, people really, really consume the album. So to come in to yet another single on the album that's hugely popular, you have to find a way to sort of make it fresh and new. And, you know, with Finesse, and when they said Finesse, first we were thinking, oh, it's some new track. And then we're like, wait a minute, this is on the album. So for them to have, you know, the forethought to go ahead and put a fresh spin on the song and to give it, you know, a new dress for the Bruno fans, and then also, you know, for the Cardi fans, you know, to really give a different sound for Cardi, for her fans, I think that just really helps expand her fan base. And I think it's kind of the meshing of both scenarios. You know, it's Bruno fans getting a little closer to Cardi, and Cardi's fans certainly getting closer to Bruno. And I think it's really just a match made in heaven. I think it's just a really fun project. And the fact that it has the New Jack Swing vibe to it, it makes it readily familiar. And so we all know that people love things that are familiar. So there's a familiarity about it and a freshness. And I think that's going to be the appeal of that song long term. I think the Finesse remix is going to have long term legs.
And the video itself, paying homage to In Living Color, and basically melding, you know, several generations together. I think that also is definitely helping. And I definitely agree with what Terry says. I think long term wise, this record is gonna last a little longer.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes time to, you know, parties and events, I think, you know, millennials really love 90s music. The whole 90s movement is being embraced by our young generation and still beloved by the generation that was actually there, you know, during that particular time. So I think it's the culture, you know, it's bridging the age gap, and I think it's providing something for everyone to get involved with. And so, you know, while grown folks are going back in their closet pulling out their old 90s wear, you know, you got the young kids going out to the vintage shops looking for the 90s wear. So, you know, I think it's just a resurgence and an appreciation of the 90s culture and that culture from that time period. And I think, you know, the old adage, what's old gets to be new again, I think is somewhat the case. And so that song is just really fun. The spirit of it is fun. And it's something that really, you know, at a house party, you put that song on and everybody's going to relate to it on some level. So I think that's a song that really is for everyone. Whereas, you know, Justin, he's taking some creative liberties, you know, with this particular project. This song has a little bit of a different vibe, the futuristic Steve Jobs kind of homage video, with a little bit of, you know, iRobot sort of vibe in there. You know, it's futuristic, it's artistic, it's a little cerebral. So, you know, it's just a different type of project. But, you know, Justin is getting a little bit older and he's wanting to stretch out and try different things. So, you know, it's interesting to see his progression and how the fans will embrace it. And I think that the Super Bowl appearance is going to be paramount to where this particular single goes, how that Super Bowl performance goes, how that performance is embraced by fans, how Justin is able to capture the audience, I think could either be the cherry on top of what's about to happen, or it could be something that may damper it. So I think for me, there's a lot riding on the Super Bowl performance.
So it sounds like Trevor and I both thought that Finesse probably is the song that's going to have a little more long-term legs. It sounds like we're in complete agreement. All four of us are saying Finesse is the bigger long-term hit.
I think so. I think Filthy is a nice introduction into you know, the project. We'll see what happens with the upcoming, you know, Grammys, you know, what happens, anything there, you know, with that in terms of, you know, performance wise or whatever. I think the Super Bowl is paramount. But yeah, I'm kind of feeling like there's going to be something else to come right behind it that's really going to give the real direction of where this project is going.
I mean, just like how Taylor Swift did when she came out with Look What You Made Me Do, people were like, whoa, this is way different from what we're used to hearing from Taylor. I think the same thing is happening with Justin. But when the Man of the Woods album does come out, I think you will see some traditional Justin Timberlake songs, as well as with some new experimental music as well, because he is an artiste.
Yeah, the Justin thing will be interesting, because I think a lot of people, based on the cover art and based on the track list, it seems like there's probably a collaboration with Chris Stapleton going on. He's kind of mentioned that this will be a Tennessee influenced album, which you know, based on his Memphis soul connection, the sort of the Nashville country scene that he's dipped into. But it's kind of strange that even with the pop and the country, it's still kind of circle around, oddly enough, a lot of the R&B and maybe even sort of rap adjacent songs that you would think, you know, would be the standout hits of this moment. He may be, I don't know. I mean, maybe trying something more in the Sam Hunt lane that might work out. But it feels like it's funny how, you know, last time he had such an R&B album during a time when pop was really big, and now he might have a really big pop album at a time when, you know, R&B and rap is really big.
I love that you mentioned Chris Stapleton. I think that, you know, there's just a lot of interesting phenomenons going on with music in general, and I can give you a total curveball example. So one of our brands here in Houston is KMJQ, and it's an adult urban station. And I have Chris Stapleton about to be in heavy rotation on Magic 102.1. You're probably like, how the hell is a country song in heavy rotation on an adult urban station? Well,
and knowing, you know, Magic 102, yeah, that's... I'm already like, what?
That's odd, right? But if you, for whatever the reason, Tennessee Whiskey has caught fire in the marketplace, and even though it's a couple years old, it has caught fire for the adult urban crowd. And, you know, part of the musical culture here is that bluesy sound, that Southern soul, Zydeco, that sort of vibe, and that's part of the culture of Houston. And so... one of my mixers, Walter D, came in. He said, I bet you if you play this song, it's going to be a huge hit. And he started to play it out of his laptop. And I was like, I love that song, you know, because I'm a music lover. So I love the song. And I never thought about it immediately in the context of Magic. But once he said it, I could hear it. And I said, well, what the hell? I said, let's put it on. And we did. And it's been on fire. And if you were to look at Shazam to see if a song is going to have some sort of interest and buzz, Magic, the airplay on Magic, is giving new life to that song. So back to Justin and the Chris Stapleton, that's smart to me. I mean, to me, it's, you know, people, because of streaming, because of access to music, you know, people no longer are, I only listen to this. it's they like what they like, they want what they want when they want it. And I think that provides opportunities for artists to do collaborations that may introduce each other to different audiences. I mean, even in country music, there are some country songs out there now that are making hip-hop references. They're referencing hip-hop artists and hip-hop songs in country songs that are popular and getting played on country stations. So I think there's a greater awareness than ever before of other ponds of music that are out there and available, and people like to go on vacation, and sometimes you want to dip in somebody else's pond, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think as long as, you know, you bring your A game and you make smart choices and good collaborations, I think there's something to be gained on both sides.
Well, and to that point, I want to kind of mention something that you brought up a little bit earlier about Cardi B being hot, and I'm curious because, you know, for a long time, a lot of people were talking about, you know, Bodak Yellow was the only song we really had from her, you know, on the major label side. And that had been around, you know, for a couple of months. People were kind of wondering, what's up? What's next? Now in the past, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we've seen her come out with so many different things. She's been on Motorsport. She's been on G-Eazy's No Limit. She's been on the song with Ozuna. She's been her own single, Bardi A Cardi. Now we see her on Finesse with Bruno Mars. Do you think, is there such even a possibility or a chance of too much Cardi B at once? Or is she just like so hot that she can have, we need six more songs from her. I mean, just keep them coming.
I think that, I think right now she's hot. So, you know, I'm in Drake land, for example. You know, Drake considers Houston a second home. And when he was up and coming in the business, he was here a lot and building his brand as in this marketplace and spending a lot of time here in Houston. So hence all of the Houston references in his music. And so, you know, there was one time or another where most of the power category at KBXX 97.9 The Box were mostly Drake songs. So I think it's, you know, you have your moment when you have your moment. And if you're smart and strategic as an artist, you have people around you or even yourself, you have a sense of self and knowing when you may need to pull back a little bit. I would say she's super hot right now, and you got to go for it when you can go for it. I mean, the projects that she's on are good projects. They're good collaborations. You know, she's an artist that I love and respect, because she has literally put in the work. You can't argue with somebody who's put in the sweat equity. We've seen this play out. I mean, her work ethic has been great. You know, it's been beastie. You know, she wasn't the most perfect person in the room. She wasn't the most perfectly articulate person by everyday standards and, you know, perfectly packaged person in the room. But she had hustle, and she did it the old-fashioned way. The strategy was to go out here and grow the brand from the ground up, and she's done that. So I think for now, it's like, yeah, she is hot. You know, and whether these projects were older or newer, you know, she's out here and taking advantage of all of the opportunities that are being presented to her, and she should go for it. And I think if the projects start to sound redundant, that's when it could be a little sketchy. But I think Cardi's flavor, her persona is so fun, and people are really embracing what's behind that. I think right now, you know, every time you hear her, it's like, oh, that's Cardi. I mean, she's sticking out in a very positive way on formats where a lot of times we get a lot of sameness. So I think right now, nah, I think she's going for it, and I don't think there's too much Cardi, and, you know, hopefully she has a smart team around her that will guide her and, you know, advise her and when to, okay, maybe Cardi, it's time. Right now, let's take a vacation. You know, let's ease up a little bit. For right now, though, hey, go for it.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, I know a lot of people with you know, a lot of people are wondering, you know, with Bodak Yellow being such a huge hit, can she follow it up? Now we've seen her do it here, there, everywhere. And I know that puts, you know, a lot of people excited to see what kind of album she might have coming up later this year.
I think it's just smart choices. I mean, these are really, really smart choices. You see that the choices that she's on are with, you know, artists and projects that are allowing her to cross into, you know, she's not stuck in one format, right? So, you know, Cardi on a top 40 station is working, just like Cardi on a straight hip-hop station is working. You know, some of the choices that are being made here are exposing Cardi to a larger variety of people. And from her past with the Love and Hip-Hop and whatever, you know, stuff with television, you know, I mean, it's TV, true enough, but there's a specific audience for that, right? So with the projects that she's done, she's been able to put her brand in different areas, and those are the types of choices that really help an artist, where this person is not being just delegated and put into a box literally. So I do think there have been smart choices that get this woman into multiple formats in front of multiple audiences. Even this whole choice with Finesse. You know, the question mark is, I mean, you know, shoot, it sounds like a straight New Jack Swing record, the remix. So, you know, should adult urban stations be messing with it? And would you mess with the Cardi B version of Not? Well, her rap style on it, it's true Cardi, but it's so melodic, it's not offensive or abrasive rap style. So I would say, sure, at some point I would expect, it's a strong possibility on my adult urban, because it's Bruno Mars and he's a monster with hit-making potential. You know, he's created this record with a remix that's going to be immediately familiar to an adult urban audience that is now going to take Cardi B onto the adult urban format. There's no way on earth that she came out the gate saying, oh yeah, I want to be on adult radio. I mean, that wasn't even in the game plan. But so she's on top 40, she's on pop, she's on hip hop, and now potentially could be exposed in the adult urban world. And that's opening doors, you know, for her. You know, the ability to be on these multiple formats is just going to open a lot of doors for her. And if she plays her business plan smart, she's got smart people around her, you know, we're going to see the evolution of Cardi B. I think it has the potential to continue to take her into major superstar status.
Now, if we can just get a remix of Finesse with Bruno, Cardi, and Chris Stapleton. Maybe no telling how big this could be.
I would love it.
All right, so Cardi B moving forward in 2018. Any other acts or sounds or trends that you guys are looking up, thinking, you know, this could be a big thing coming out of 2018 at all?
You know, I think the merits of these interesting collaborations. I think that you know, for artists being able to make smart choices there. And it's kind of like, you know, expanding my brand as an artist by making a smart collaboration with someone else. And we've seen some examples of it in the past, but not really to this level. You know, I'm very interested to see, you know, where that's headed. Like, we've seen Ed Sheeran recently may have some participate in some interesting collaborations. I mean, I think it's the year potentially of the interesting collaborations, and if they're well played, it's really going to bring the musical world together in new and fun ways, and would make for some great, at least award show performances, you know, if not interesting pop-ups on live concerts where you're seeing artists you never get, you know, expected to see pop out on a song. So that, I think I would say, is interesting collaborations. That's what I'm looking forward to this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. We were actually talking about this internally. One of our editors said how, you know, it could be at least partly that hip hop is now so big, and collaboration has always been such a part of hip hop, that maybe other genres are seeing that that's working. And, you know, we're seeing BB REXA and Florida Georgia Line have a number one hit at country. We're seeing just so many different formats. It's joking about Chris Stapleton, but it almost wouldn't be surprising. It really takes a lot to be surprised by any collaboration at this point.
I view that more, and I view even in like some of the traditional formats, like country tends to be, you know, a little bit territorial as a format, but, you know, I see even some of that. I mean, there could be potentially on a country station, you know, you have a key hot country artist that's now having a hip hop collaboration, and it's going to work and it's going to be a hit. And, you know, and it just opens doors. I love it. I think music is the great equalizer. When we talk about, you know, inequality and, you know, different social issues, I think there's a common denominator when it comes to music, because a song can bring people together that you never thought could be in the same room vibing to the same vibe. So, you know, I think music really is the universal language. And with all the chaos that's going on in the world politically and socially, I think there's a lot of opportunity for music to lead the way.
Well, I'm going to have to give a shout out to Houston's Finest. We saw in just the past 6 months, I mean, Beyonce turning from Mi Gente to collaborating with Eminem, and now we see her on Ed Sheeran. I mean, all three, you know, way different lanes, but all three lanes where you're like, Beyonce, yeah, she fits right there with all of them.
Totally brilliant. I think it's a brilliant strategy for her because, you know, Beyonce is a superstar artist. Now, when you talk about can an artist, you know, can it be a lot? Well, I mean, she's a superstar. She's earned every right to be a superstar. You know, her husband, you know, is very smart the way her project rolled out, her husband's project, the way that all sort of rolled out and was a conversation. And now she's made some very, very, very smart collaboration choices. And it has got her into the arena with other artists. And it is showing a different side of Beyonce to different fan bases, which I really just think is smart, because creatively as an artist, you always want to grow. So it just gives her as an artist a lot of different places to grow to. And the reality is, hey, it is Beyonce. So, you know, these artists and that come from different areas, you know, like Ed Sheeran, I could see he'd be super stoked. Yeah, let's do something with Beyonce. I mean, I think that's great. And I think, you know, for her as an artist, not having to be, you know, it's not the Beyonce song, it's Eminem featuring Beyonce, you know, where she's comfortable enough in who she is as an artist to be able to be the accent piece on a record, I think is amazing. And I just really think that it's smart. And I think it allows her the ability to expand her brand because, you know, really after the last project, you know, you just kind of get curious. It's like, now what? Now where are we going to go? And I think some of these smart collaboration choices, I think we could be in line for some very interesting next Beyonce project that could be a departure from what anybody else is expecting.
All right. All great points. Thank you so much. Terry Thomas, DJ Riddler from KROI. Appreciate it.
We got, we got our own little collaboration going on right here.
That's right. The four of us here on a collaboration. All right, guys.
Teamwork.
Happy New Year. Thanks so much for coming back on.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
so
you
much.
Guys.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And for those who tuned into our last episode of 2017, we ended with a nice Hot 100 countdown to wrap 2017. To kick off 2018, we're going to start with a, let's call it a count back, perhaps? 18 of our favorite number 18 hits on the Hot 100. All right, so we're going to count back. And we're going to count through 18 songs that hit number 18 exactly on the Hot 100, and that is our little chart way of welcoming everybody to 2018.
Right. In years past, I've done this as a column on Billboard.com. I thought it'd be kind of fun to actually hear the songs and talk about them. All right, so I think we got the premise, right? So we're going to look at 18 songs that hit number 18 on the Hot 100 over the years. The Hot 100 started back in 1958, and there's songs from Chuck Berry and Elvis, some really early stuff, but we figured we'd go a little bit more into recent decades and recent years, some songs that really are relevant in many ways to what's going on now. So kick us off, Trevor. What year are we going back to for our first number 18 hit?
We are going to take it right back to 1980 with a medley to a mega popular film franchise that is still selling out theaters and, you know, got nerds excited very much to this day. We're talking about the one, the only Star Wars. And in 1980, the Empire Strikes Back medley was a number 18 hit right here on the Hot 100.
You said Star Wars nerds. Are you including yourself in that? Because if you're not, then you're just insulting everybody.
I am not. I'm not. What is Star Wars fans called? Are they lightsabers?
I've never been a Star Wars.
Jedis?
I don't know.
I think you know, the nerds take sort of pride back in that word. Am I wrong?
You better hope you're right.
They're going to find me? Oh, God.
Just kind of funny that this was so huge pop culture-wise, late 70s with Star Wars, and then Empire Strikes Back, and now here we are in 2018, and in some ways the franchise is bigger than ever, maybe in a social media era. It's not only a new life, but maybe a bigger life than ever before.
Yeah, I mean, people certainly, as we see, you know, lining up for tickets days, some maybe even sometimes weeks in advance. I mean, the movies sell out across the board. We saw, you know, the response that the world had when Carrie Fisher passed away a little over a year ago, and how important she was to that legacy. And so, yeah, I mean, this is one of those film franchises that, like you said, I mean, it's been going on for almost a little over 40 years, and you know, it's one of those things that generations love. I mean, I know, you know, parents who pass it on to their kids, and they all go as a family to see it. This is really one of the most enduring film projects and legacies of all time.
And it shows that a number 18 hit. It don't always have to be a number one hit to be remembered so well. All right, let's move forward in the 80s. 1985, a superstar collaboration. We're talking about Bruno Mars and Cardi B. Same premise, going back decades of putting big names together for a hit. Eurythmics, Aretha Franklin, sisters are doing it for themselves.
And one of the big things about this too, Aretha Franklin, of course, had been around for 20 years at this point, having huge hits, and reinvents herself in the 1980s by teaming up with a lot of contemporary icons. Well, we saw Eurythmics, obviously, right here. In a couple of years, she'll team up with George Michael, have a number one hit when they get together. She'll, 2 years later, do a duet with Whitney Houston, you know, who obviously was still a pretty fresh face by 1989. So that's a great tactic that some of these artists are using, teaming up with some of these new pop stars, new audiences, new fan bases, new genres. I mean, Eurythmics, Aretha Franklin, not really close to the same boat. But, I mean, here we are, getting a solid top 20 hit out of it.
For all these duets that she was doing, had to be daunting to sing with Aretha Franklin. And Annie Lennox certainly holds her own. But it's going to be the night before, you're probably probably a little nervous.
I would think so. I mean, you know, a lot of people would suggest that she's certainly one of the top, if not the top voice, you know, in the past half century. So, yeah, it's got to be huge. And, of course, we saw kind of this song get a relife. We saw this song kind of get a little bit of a revival a couple years ago when they did that five-woman tribute to Aretha Franklin at the Grammy Awards, when Christina Aguilera was up there, Jennifer Hudson was one of the voices, Florence Welch, and the five singers together sang this tune. So nice that it got a nice shout out in Aretha's catalog. And of course, you know, I mean, the message is pretty important today as well.
All right, skipping ahead 5 years to 1990, another kind of superstar collaboration, known as a producer primarily, but lead artist on this one, Quincy Jones. Featuring, there's a couple of featured acts you have to bring in. There's Ray Charles, Chaka Khan.
Must be nice to have those kind of in your Rolodex. You know, Quincy Jones, kind of the big thing about this, back in 1990, having his having really time for his own album. He had last been on the Hot 100 in 1982. People will know that in particular, he was a little busy between 82 and 90, producing a lot of the hit albums with Michael Jackson, Off the Wall in 79, Thriller in 82, Bad in 87. After Bad, Michael Quincy split up. So Quincy now has the time to do his own album, Back on the Block, which is going to win the Grammy for Album of the Year. This song will be on there as well, win a Grammy as well. And just listen to the quick runoff of some of these people who Quincy Jones was able to get on one record. I mean, it is outstanding. We're talking, in addition to Ray Charles and Chaka Khan, we've got Ella Fitzgerald is on this album, Miles Davis, Ice-T, Big Daddy Kane, Sarah Vaughan, Luther Vandross, Dionne Warwick, Barry White, who we'll hear from a little bit later, even contemporaries, James Ingram, Al Jarreau, even a 12-year-old Tevin Campbell.
Yeah.
So we're talking, I mean, if you can go between Ella Fitzgerald and Tevin Campbell, I mean, that is, I mean, your musical legacy is just momentous.
I think Michael Jackson had kept Quincy Jones's Rolodex ransom. He held it through the 80s to work on his own albums and then said, fine, here, you can have it back. And he couldn't wait to contact everybody he knew at that point.
I mean, maybe Michael just, you know, just turned his back a little too long one second. But I mean, of course, just, you know, how amazing to have just such a massive legacy as a producer and then, you know, as your own charting artist.
And for Ray Charles, it would wind up being his 81st and last Hot 100 hit, but his first Top 40 hit in about 19 years. So it was a nice comeback for Ray Charles as well.
Yeah.
Going ahead to 1994 and our look at 18, number 18 hits for 2018. We're up to our fourth song, peak to number 18 on the Hot 100. Huge hit that again shows how all things come back around. 1994, Circle of Life, Elton John from The Lion King. And here we are now in 2018. We're talking about The Lion King. No matter what we say, we wind up talking about Beyonce.
That's it. Yeah. Next year, Beyonce taking on the voice of Nala. With really just an all-star cast of who's going to do the live-action film. Be interesting to see what happens with the music. We're not sure yet. But, I mean, Elton John, you know, really helped helm a classic soundtrack back in 1994. Between this, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I mean, just such a well-received Disney soundtrack, such a massive film. And, I mean, for Circle of Life, you know, which is, I mean, you know, it means it's there's no way it's not a soundtrack song. So for it to, you know, carve through to the top 20 in a time where, you know, a lot of it is R&B ballads, and the rock scene is also making, you know, a huge move in sort of the post grunge waves. But this kind of, you know, I mean, African based chant, you know,
right,
sort of come together song to be a top 20 hit, that just shows the power of the movie, how much people really loved that. And I mean, Elton John's skill at, you know, taking on a hit.
So thinking now, actually, we could almost, we were talking about predictions here. We could predict maybe, if she winds up covering it, maybe a Song of the Summer candidate for 2019. Maybe Beyonce's version of Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Beyonce's? That could be. I mean, I guess if she and Donald Glover, who will be doing the voice of Simba, you know, maybe there's some room there for that.
All right, let's stay in 1994. Another legend, another comeback. It's been a while since he'd had a big hit, but that voice, we all know the voice, Barry White.
Yes, Barry White. Kind of as we mentioned with Aretha Franklin, I mean, Barry had been around for more than 20 years at this point. And always been in that R&B lane. And this one, you know, stays kind of right at home. But there's something just, I think something so catchy about the melody. I mean, you know, it's, you know, telling me this, telling me that.
Yeah, a little sing-songy in some ways.
That I think that really gets stuck in people's head. And, you know, I mean, at this point, you know, there's so much R&B dominating the charts at this time that I think some of these older acts who get referenced and acknowledged and appreciated by the younger generation helping out as well. Barry White's a huge beneficiary of that. Also, R&B was a huge fan of it, was a number one hit on our Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart at the time. So, I mean, to be, like we said, 20 plus years in your career and still charting R&B number ones, you're an all-star.
All right, going from an act, Barry White, Practice What You Preach, number 18 hit in 1994, number 18 hit in 1997, an act, totally a different part of their career. They had broken through in 1997 with three top five hits, including the number one, Wannabe.
Barry, we had Elton before, Quincy Jones, Ray Charles, Chaka Khan. I mean, let's get all these old people out of here. Let's bring in some new life.
You're saying we should spice up our life? Is that what you're saying?
Spice up our life! We'll be right back. the Spice Girls. I mean, who, you know, this is really, there's a great divide, I guess, between sort of the older artists we talked about in the top of the early 90s and this 1997 teen pop explosion. Spice Girls had already been hitmakers with the song Wannabe, which was a number one hit on the Hot 100. And Spice Up Your Life is just kind of falls in that same vein. I mean, the chant was always kind of fun, and get to sing it. It was like a huge hit. I remember in a lot of, you know, school dances or in gym class or whatnot. I mean, kids were really, really feeling Spice Girl songs.
This was almost this was like their brand in a song at this point. If they've got the word Spice and they were the Spice Girls, it was almost not even so much a song, but just sort of all things Spice Girls at that point. They'd become so huge in 1997 to have a song that sort of named after them at that point just kind of showed that everyone kind of knew what they were about, the whole girl power movement. So it was,
well, not,
it was
not
a branding
even,
opportunity.
I mean, it was,
really,
of course, girl power, but you know, I mean, the lyrics say, you know, every boy and every girl. I mean, this is an, you know, everybody just improve your life. Just spice it up a little bit.
So we've been talking a lot about Beyonce. If I don't know if the Carters listen to the podcast, but Jay-Z.
I'm sure this is a mandatory Thursday listening.
Jay-Z might be getting a little jealous. Should we mention a Jay-Z hit?
Of course, we're going to mention Jay-Z and a classic number 18 hit, one of the standouts of Jay-Z's catalog, Big Pimpin' with UGK. Of course, we're going to mention Jay-Z, standout in his catalog, number 18 hit in 2000, Big Pimpin', which if you don't know a whole lot of Jay-Z songs, and you may not even know a lot of the hooks very well, I feel like Big Pimpin', though, is one of the standout hooks that everybody knows, at least Jay-Z's part, because it kind of has that melodic-ish kind of flow to it. It's got a good bounce. The lyrics, they're not complicated lyrics. It's just, you know, Big Pimpin', spending G's, would be Big Pimpin' on BLADs. And I just feel like, you know, if you get lost in the verses, that helps you out. It's a Timbaland-produced song, so you know it's going to have a good beat behind it. And this is one of those songs where, you know, in the early part of a good number of rappers' careers, maybe not having a huge pop success, probably a little more well-known for the albums and some of the album cuts, this is starting to get Jay-Z a little more friendly to the pop audience, pop radio getting a little more receptive. Of course, when he teams up with Beyonce and, you know, Rihanna and a few other huge pop stars in the coming decade, that helps him out as well. But I think this is definitely a big moment in his catalog, and certainly one of his favorite songs that he's recorded, if we know.
All right, switching from hip-hop, we've been talking about a lot of pop and hip-hop. Let's go a little bit in the rock direction. Go ahead to 2003, a number 18 hit. This artist had broken through with No Such Thing, got to number 13, but I feel like in some ways maybe this is better remembered at this point just for the title alone, but just it's still a lasting hit. John Mayer, Your Body's in Wonderland.
Yeah, this is what, from the Room from Squares album?
Yeah.
This is bound to be a while. Your body is a wonderland. Your body is a wonder. I will use my hands. Your body is a wonderland.
Yeah. There's the follow-up. Second single. Just kind of cemented that he wasn't just going to be a one-hit wonder. And, yeah, the song is just lyrically a lot more going on. No Such Thing is sort of autobiographical. This is an all-out love song, which is just not always going to be a little more juicy.
And this is definitely a big moment in his career. This song wins him his first Grammy Award. He wins it for Best Male Pop Vocal Performance. In the 40-plus years that the Best Male Pop Vocal Performance Grammy Award was given, John Mayer is tied for first place with Sting and Stevie Wonder. So I don't think any, I mean, he only won his first one, you know, in 2003, and the category was finished in 2011. So just goes to show how much of a critical favorite he is. And, you know, I mean, anytime you can have a record with Stevie Wonder, that's a huge deal.
Talking about an act who was new in the early 2000s, so was this act. This was their very first hit, Maroon 5, 2003, a number 18 hit, Harder to Breathe.
Fucking tread the ground that I am walking on. The when it gets cold. I got nobody to love. You'll understand what I mean.
obviously totally different sound than what we'd expect from Maroon 5. Now, they started as a rock band. I was working in AC radio at the time. It was a real stretch for us to play. We didn't get into them until This Love. And she
was the very next single.
Yeah, the next pretty quickly. But, you know, they've had 19, this was their first of 19 top 40 hits on the Hot 100, getting to number 18. They had 7 top 40 hits in the 2000s. They've had 12 in the 2010s. So they've almost doubled their top 40 output. It's only 2018. We still have 2 full years left of the decade. They've just, ever since they went pop with Misery and then I guess really with Moves Like Jagger, they've kind of found that that's their sound. And it's worked almost with every single they've put out since then. Okay, moving forward, a couple years, 2006.
We're talking now about you the, know.
Yeah.
This is the most 2006 thing you can bring up because people are not even going to remember that this person had a recording career.
I was going to say, we're talking about the year of unexpected collaborations, but unexpected hits. This, well, in some ways it was unexpected. In some ways this was, I'm going to capitalize. This is my moment. Let's see if I can have a pop hit too. Parasol.
Yeah, that's hot. Yeah, she saw that Paris Hilton, of course, has to be on the Hot 100. Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, The Simple Life was a huge thing. Her and Nicole Richie, that reality show. And, you know, we've seen plenty of times where movie stars, film stars, you know, try to cross over into becoming music stars. And, I mean, right there, Paris Hilton literally has a top 20 hit to her credit. I know a lot of people, you know, will ridicule that and, you know, it's just sort of a side product that you know, flopped on or whatnot, but a top 20 hit, I mean,
good song.
That is, you know, that's hard to come by.
It's a number one dance club songs hit, too. It's just a fun song. I think, yeah, anyone can put out a song, but it actually had to be pretty decent for it to become a top 20 hit, and it did. It kind of, it's fun to hear it now because it's kind of forgotten for the newly engaged Paris Hilton.
Will they get married at the Hilton?
Get a good deal.
Yeah.
Save on that reception.
She knows the owner.
The family discount.
The friends and family. You got it.
So a couple years later, 2008, comeback. At the time, you kind of think now that she's always been huge, but there were a couple years where things were not absolutely automatic for Britney Spears at pop radio. But the Blackout album, 2007, gave her the number 3 hit, Give Me More. And then Piece of Me was the follow-up. Got to number 18.
You want a piece of me?
Misses, oh my god, that Britney shameless.
You want a piece of me?
Misses, extra, extra, this just in.
You want a piece of me?
Misses, she's too big, now she's too thin.
You want a piece of me?
Yeah, and the thing about Give Me More, you know, massive hit. I think bigger than people kind of remembered at the time, as we remember this is Britney's struggle year. But people remember that VMA's performance probably more than any sort of thing about Give Me More. That wasn't, you know, not a very great one for her. She did not, you know, she wasn't at her best performance then. And I think it's kind of interesting then that next single, Piece of Me, the very next year of the VMAs, 2008, she wins Video of the Year for Piece of Me. So, you know, kind of in that 1 year flip, Britney Spears got it all together, turned it around. By the end of 2008, she'll have another number one hit with Womanizer to her credit. So really, I mean, this was a huge stretch, both, you know, for some people who had seen the lowest of Britney, but to turn it around within the next 6 months and be right back on top of her game. I mean, you cannot doubt Britney Spears. All right, in 2008, one of the biggest names in music, Usher, coming back with Love in the Club, which was his first single since the massive Confessions album he had 4 years earlier.
Right.
Now, Love in this Club, I'm sure some Usher fans are saying, well, that was a number one hit. Why is it on this countdown? Because there was actually a part 2 version that had Beyonce and Lil Wayne. Part 2, I mean, that was a massive year for all of them. Loving This Club, like I said, number one hit. And Beyonce's been affiliated with some of these part two remixes before. 5 years before, she had been on a part two remix kind of version of In the Club by 50 Cent that I know is at least played on Houston radio. Maybe a little biased, but kind of fun that some of these redos Beyonce's always there for. And then in 2017, we see her jump on a lot of remixes. The Mi Gente remix, this Ed Sheeran remix with Perfect. So Beyonce knows, you know, Beyonce's smart. She knows just when to jump on a song that's hot, give it her own little touch, and bam, there's a hit.
All right, 12 down, 6 more. Looking at number 18 hits on the Hot 100. 18, number 18 hits, because it's 2018. Let's keep in the 2000s, do one more from the 2000s. We've seen so many different sides musically of Miley Cyrus, and this is maybe the absolute most Hannah Montana sound that Miley ever did. Hold down, throw down. So the song, number 18 hit in 2009 from Hannah Montana, the movie. You know, the director, he said he wasn't even trying to hide it. He said he was trying to create a Macarena type song for Miley Cyrus, a song and dance that could just completely take off culturally like that. I'm not sure the song ever did it. A little too goofy for radio at the time, maybe a little young sounding. But
little did we know that Wrecking Ball was going to be the 3 years of just 4 short years away was gonna break the internet.
But it's also in some ways too, is sort of the second generation. Her dad, Billy Ray, Achy Breaky Heart. This was kind of her achy breaky line dance kind of song as well.
Achy breaky, hold down, throw down. All right, moving on to 2010. I'm gonna go out and say this is the most iconic song in Pink's catalog. Glitter in the Air, number 18 hit in 2010. Not necessarily because maybe people, you know, don't know the song as well as they know some of our other hits, but this song has really like sustained Pink's live performance arc all the way till today. I mean, this was the first time we saw her in the Grammy Awards and she performed this song, do the acrobatic, you know, flips in the air and do the aerial performance as she was singing the song. We've seen her, you know, do variations of that several times. Even last year in 2017, the American Music Awards, she upped the ante by performing on the side of the hotel building.
Right.
But I mean, that, you know, this song and that performance really opened up that can. And even though she, you know, has kind of done variations of it a couple times, I'm still always amazed, you know, and people are always really impressed. They pointed out how great a singer you have to be that you can sing live, hit those notes and be, you know, suspended in the air, hundreds of feet twirling around, you know, probably heart beating so fast and still pull it off every time.
Yeah, either of those two talents on their own would be amazing. To be able to sing like she can sing and to be able to do acrobatics like that, you combine them, that's superhuman.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'd never seen that on that kind of level. She'd been doing those kind of moves on tour, but this was kind of the breakout moment. And after she did that on the Grammys in 2010, the song debuted at number 18 on the Hot 100.
Speaking of Grammy Awards, an artist who has been no stranger to some controversy with them, 2011, number 18 hit coming from Kanye West with the song All the Lights, which, I mean, also, you know, it's officially here credited to Kanye West, but the featured bill of who's on that song is a pretty good who's who as well. I mean, you've got Fergie on there, you've got Elton John, you've got Rihanna, and several other artists, so like Quincy Jones, Kanye has a pretty full Rolodex of people he can call on.
You know what I remember about this song? It's just sort of random, but in 2011, when the song was out, I was invited to speak at Berklee College in White Plains, New York. I had all these notes prepared about how the charts work and everything, and it just turned into a whole discussion about this song. Somehow this came up, and everyone in the class just wanted to be talking about all the lights and the different people on it. I just remember thinking how huge the song actually was. I actually learned the phrase swagger on point during this class.
I'm sorry, you learned what?
Swagger on point.
Gary swagger on point.
Some other guest who was so much better than I was speaking said, oh, his swagger's on point. I went to school, I learned something.
All thanks to Kanye West. And I swear we did not do this on purpose, but of course it seems like Kanye West must always be linked with Taylor Swift, who is our next number 18 highlight.
At least this time she's coming in after.
She's after, yeah, right? Now Taylor interrupts Kanye with a good old number 18 hit out of 2014, "Out of the Woods." So the song at number 18. Right around the time the 1989 album had come out, it was actually released as a preview track right before the album's debut, while Shake It Off was still the official single and a huge hit. Out of the Woods would actually later become an official 1989 single. It would be the sixth single in 2015, going into 2016. At the time, though, when it first debuted and hit number 18, you know, Taylor fever was everywhere. We were all waiting for the album. Shake It Off, like I mentioned, had been this massive hit, you know, just everywhere. And so there was, you could not satisfy the Taylor appetite. And so this song, you know, another testament to that, just that not even being an official radio single, but just, you know, hey, here's a song. I just want to put it out. I like it. Sales and streams are that huge. It's Taylor, you know, written with Jack Antonoff, who we know they have a very strong collaboration and a good friendship there. And it's just that magic again.
And it kind of shows, too, how difficult it can be to keep an album going more than a year after it's been out. Because once it became an official single, it actually never went back into the top 40 on the Hot 100. New Romantics didn't either. It seemed like five. It was just kind of the limit for the hits from the album.
Yeah, after Wildest Dreams, and I think kind of with the climax of winning Album of the Year at the Grammy Awards in the top of February 2016, seemed like that was kind of the bow on that for whatever reason.
And just shows, too, again, how something like Perfect, Ed Sheeran, you freshen things up by putting Beyonce on there. Bruno and Cardi B on Finesse. That's why you do that.
And even Taylor, I mean, you know, she had gotten Kendrick Lamar to help out with Bad Blood.
Right.
I mean, who knows if that would have had the same kind of shelf life. I mean, it was a number one hit, you know, had they not remixed it.
And it was actually Taylor's third number 18 hit. She had two other interesting collaborations back in 2010. Boys Like Girls featuring Taylor with Two Is Better Than One. And then B.O.B. featuring Taylor for Both of Us in 2012. So this is when she was still a country artist, starting to transition to pop a little bit. But she collaborated. She did a Crossroads episode on CMT with Def Leppard. So Taylor really has been doing collaborations pretty much since she started.
I want her long blonde hair. I want her magic touch. Yeah, 'cause maybe then you'd want me just as much. I got a girl crush. I got a girl crush.
And another collaboration that we saw Taylor Swift do last year, 2017, was when she wrote the song Better Man for country group Little Big Town, who, yes, look at that, is going to be our penultimate number 18 hit on this 18 number 18 hits count back for 2018.
Say that again.
Who, 18?
Once was
number eight. Yeah, well, you got the point. But this Little Big Town song is going to be the song Girl Crush, which was a massive hit on the Hot Country Songs chart, number one for double-digit weeks. Song hits number 18 on the Hot 100, so a good pop crossover there as well. And you know, a little bit of the song, I mean, some of the attention and some of the buzz around the single came because it was actually a somewhat controversial single, just based on the lyrics. The lyrics detail a woman, you know, sort of fantasizing about being this other woman because she wants this guy who's right. in love with that woman to love her. But some people, you know, read into it as a bit of lesbianism and thinking it was, you know, she has a crush on a girl. What's going on? And I remember some people just, you know, taking that way out of proportion, just made no sense.
Yeah, the song was number one for 13 weeks on Hot Country Songs, which blends airplay, sales, and streaming. So it's a huge sales and streaming hit. That's actually a record in the country chart's entire history, which goes back to 1958. Most time at number one for by a song by a group. Of at least three members, so a historic hit. But airplay-wise, stopped at number three. As you were saying, I think there was a little bit of conservatism at radio that the lyrics could be considered controversial.
A little too close for comfort.
So we're talking with Taylor. We're talking about these collaborations. How about we bring it all full circle? We got Kendrick here for our 18th number 18 hit for 2018 with "Sia, the Greatest."
Yeah, a little bit of a two-prong there because this coming on the back end for Sia of one of her biggest hits in years, Cheap Thrills with Sean Paul, which had been a number one hit that summer in 2016. This being the follow-up to that officially. So moving out there with the new track. And for Kendrick, of course, we didn't know it at the time, but when the song hits number 18, the very end of 2016, I mean, springboarding into the massive 2017 he had, you know, his next album coming out just a few months later. We saw how Big Damn was up for so many Grammys, the number one album of the year on the Billboard 200, with Humble coming just a few months later as well, and how big that song was. So kind of a nice little, it's like a nice little meeting, you know, maybe this is where like Sia kind of passed the number one baton to Kendrick and, you know, set a run with this, and he did.
And Sia, coming off a big holiday hit she just had, number one adult contemporary hit with Santa's Coming for Us. A really fun video in that, too. Kristen Bell, Henry Winkler, so many people. Fun video, a number one hit. So Sia with her holiday album. There you go. Number 18 Hot 100 hits for 2018. All right. We've got more podcasts coming up here in 2018. We have a Grammy preview coming up with Paul Grine, who originated the Chartbeat column in Billboard back in 1981. Huge, huge Grammy fan. So that's going to be coming up before the Grammy Awards. We've got Hit Songs Deconstructed coming back with more analysis of lyrics and production. They've been on the podcast before. Lots more coming up. And each week, just looking again at what's on the Hot 100, on other charts, and digging into all the ins and outs, some of the business angles of why some of these songs become hits. So we'll keep doing this throughout the year.
And as we mentioned, be sure to tune back in next week. We are going to see where this race for number one shakes out, if Ed Sheeran and Beyonce can fend off the competition that's coming on multiple fronts, whether it be from Havana, from Justin Timberlake and his song Filthy, or if Bruno and Cardi are looking to be the next king and queen. So a lot of action going on at the top of the year. Great way to start things off. So be sure to tune in next week and see where it all shakes out.
All right. And let's wrap with how about the most number 18 hit possible? It wasn't a number 18 Hot 100 hit, but it's called 18. One Direction.
Look at that.
Any more 18 than that?
Apropos, how about kicking? We see Ed Sheeran at number one. We're going to close off with a song written by the one and the only Ed Sheeran as well. So 18 and bringing it all together for us.
Long before we both thought the same thing, to be loved and to be loved. All I can do is say that these arms were made for holding you. And I want to love like you made me feel when we were 18. I want to love like you made me feel when we were 18. I want to love like you made me feel when we
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.